Good morning. This is Pastor Zachary Corey of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Wahoo, Nebraska. And I welcome you this morning to our morning devotion on Friday, April 3rd. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We read together Psalm 43, and our antiphon is verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Our reading for today is the continuation of the Gospel according to St. Mark. This is the 15th chapter, verses 33 through 47. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, Behold, he is calling Elijah. And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood facing him, saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, Truly this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joses, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joses, saw where he was laid. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. Our writing for today is from the Solid Declaration of the Formula of Concord, the third part. Faith justifies because it lays hold of and accepts Christ's merit in the promise of the Holy Gospel. The righteousness that is credited to faith or to the believer out of pure grace is Christ's obedience, suffering, and resurrection, since he has made satisfaction for us to the law and paid for our sins. Christ is not man alone, but God and man in one undivided person. Therefore, he was hardly subject to the law, because he is the Lord of the law, just as he didn't have to suffer and die for his own sake. For this reason, then, his obedience, not only in his suffering and dying, but also because he was voluntarily made under the law in our place and fulfilled the law by his obedience, is credited to us for righteousness. So, because of this complete obedience, which he rendered to his heavenly Father for us, by doing and suffering and living and dying, God forgives our sins. He regards us as godly and righteous, and he eternally saves us. This righteousness is brought to us by the Holy Spirit through the gospel and in the sacraments. It is applied, taken, and received through faith. Therefore, believers have reconciliation with God, forgiveness of sins, God's grace, sonship, and are heirs of eternal life. Here ends our reading. What a beautiful section of our Lutheran confessions. I want to point out a couple of things in our reading for today about the death of Jesus according to St. Mark. Verse 37, Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. Remember the hyperlink idea. When we read that Jesus breathed his last, we ought to be taken back in our minds, in our memory, to when God himself breathed into the nostrils of Adam after creating him from the dust of the earth and gave him life with his breath. Here is God incarnate in the flesh. He uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. God breathed his last. Because the God who gave us life, who breathed into the nostrils of Adam, and therefore breathes into us that same life that has carried on ever since Adam, that life which is ended by death because of the fall, so God took upon himself the breath of man in the body of Christ, in being incarnate as Jesus of Nazareth, true God and true man. He breathes his last and dies in order that he may then soon rise again, proving that he has defeated death, proving that he gives life and breath everlasting, that he is the one who restores this for us. So that in knowing that one day, perhaps soon, perhaps later, we don't know, one day we will breathe our last, it will only be our last in this life for we who believe and trust in Jesus as our Savior and our Redeemer. That we will then be raised again on the last day to breathe anew a breath that will never end. Because here, Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the other point that I want to make here is perhaps more obvious, but it is always worth pointing out and always worth being reminded of in this Mark 15, verse 34, when Jesus cried with a loud voice in Aramaic, which is translated to, my God, why have you forsaken me? He is, in fact, quoting the Psalms. This is Psalm 22, the opening verse of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? And I mentioned this either yesterday or within the last couple of days of our devotion, but again, as I said, we can't be reminded of this enough. Christ is indeed forsaken by God. He is. He doesn't just feel forsaken. This isn't just emotion of sadness and despair, although that certainly is present as well. Not a sinful despair, but a despair of being truly forsaken by God because he bears our sins on the cross. He is forsaken in the way that all unbelievers will be forsaken by God. That doesn't mean God is not present in hell, but it's that he's present in his wrath. The only relationship that unbelievers in eternal death have to God is the reception of his wrath eternally for their rejection of Christ. Because Christ is forsaken on the cross, every person in the world has been forgiven. They have been forgiven. But because the unbeliever rejects Christ and rejects the fact that they are sinful before a just God, they then reject salvation. They reject reconciliation. They reject Christ, who is their Savior and Redeemer, because they don't believe that they need to be saved or redeemed. And so we who have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit through our baptism and through faith, we ought to rejoice every single day, reminding ourselves each day of our baptism, that in that God has opened our eyes, lest we be unbelievers and die the eternal death, not just the temporal. But this again is why we ought always to be in God's Word and always to be meditating upon it, because though the Holy Spirit has opened our eyes in baptism and in faith, it is possible to lose our salvation. It is possible to reject the work of the Holy Spirit when we neglect God's Word and when we despise it, when we treat it as unimportant and we don't treasure it for what it is, that it is through God's Word that His Spirit works. That is what His Word reveals to us. That is the only way that His Spirit works. It is through the Word. And that is how His Spirit works in us. So we ought to be faithful in His Word. And then finally, we ought to pray for all unbelievers, and then perhaps especially for those that we know, of our own family, of our friends, perhaps those that we know who even claim to be believers in God, but in a God who is not the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Even those who believe in God will not be saved if they reject Jesus as their Savior and Redeemer. So let us pray for them daily as well. But most of all, let us rejoice that the death of Christ means life for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue with our memory work, beginning with the first three of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And from the table of duties to bishops, pastors, and preachers, from 1 Timothy 3, 2-4, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. From 1 Timothy 3:6, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. And from Titus 1:9, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. I ask for your prayers for these things. I don't think I've mentioned this yet, but I hope that this is not only something you would learn for the sake of putting God's word on your mind and commit it to memory and learn it by heart, but that it would encourage you to pray for me as your pastor, that I would look constantly to these standards for myself, and not just for me, but for all of our pastors in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, as well as our bishops, which are our district presidents, as we call them. So President Snow, this is why we pray for him each day, along with President Harrison, who is kind of our version of the Pope. We just don't believe he's divinely appointed, or that his office is divinely appointed, and that he's the vicar of Christ, as the papists believe. But we do believe that he is bishop over our church, and we still respect his office as our leader. And so we pray for him too. So I encourage you and ask that you pray for all of us, for all bishops, pastors, and preachers, that we would be faithful, especially according to the Titus 1:9, that we would hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that we can give sound so that we can give instruction in sound doctrine and rebuke those who contradict it. This is exactly where the devil tempts us as pastors. He tempts us to stray, to not hold firm to the trustworthy word, to not give instruction in sound doctrine, but to bring in unsound doctrine, whether it's our own thoughts that are contrary to the word, based on our emotions or whatever else, our own opinions. And he also deceives us so that we would not rebuke those who contradict his word, but that we would say, oh, well, we're all trying to be Christians, we're all doing our best, and the pastors of other churches who pervert God's word, well, at least they believe in Jesus. We can only say that to a certain extent, but there really does become a point where we have to say, look, other pastors out there and other churches and other religions are false if they're preaching anything contrary to God's word. So I thank you that that you have prayed for me, and again, I ask that you continue to. We continue as we read together the hymn of the week, the first two stanzas. My song is love unknown, my Savior's love to me, love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? He came from his blessed throne salvation to bestow, but men made strange and none the longed-for Christ would know. But oh, my friend indeed, who at my need his life did spend. Our verse for the week: Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 105. Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord, look down from heaven, behold, visit, and relieve your servants who stand in need of our prayers. Our Redeemer Lutheran Church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Reverend President Matthew Harrison, the Reverend President Richard Snow, our Concordia seminaries, colleges, and schools, our sister churches, the United States of America, President Donald Trump, and Governor Pete Ricketts, and of our own, Sarah, Gloria, Lee and Sandra, John and Addie, Judy, Bernice, Marge, Velva, Elaine, Gail, Lavona, Catherine, Lauren, Valerie, Jacob, Angela, and myself. Look upon them with the eyes of your mercy. Grant them comfort and sure confidence in you. Defend them from all danger and keep them in perpetual peace and safety. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, be with the doctors and nurses and all others who minister to the needs of those who are ill. Through their wise and compassionate service, grant relief to the suffering and hope to the afflicted, so that all may know of your boundless care. Grant these doctors and nurses and other medical professionals courage, Lord, and grant them faith that would look to Jesus as they serve others, that they would do so in knowing that they have been served by Jesus Christ, the crucified one. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. God's blessings on your day.